Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of the Lord, however, stands forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for those men and women of faith who have gone before us. We particularly thank you for the apostles and for this one, John, who has recorded these words that are rich and true, that are Jesus. Lord, help us to see here at the conclusion what you would have for us to know. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now Jesus has finished at this point his thrice given reinstatement of Peter with instruction repetitively to feed my sheep and to follow me. Now I can imagine that Peter is a bit flustered at this point. If I'm putting myself in his shoes, he's ready to change the subject off of him. You might know how that feels. I have had many opportunities to know how this feels. You've had a difficult conversation with someone, perhaps about a mistake that you have made, and they're calling you on the carpet, and there's a pause, and you speak quickly to change the subject, to go in a different direction, divert the attention away from yourself for a while. And it seems to me, at least, that Peter's doing this just a bit. He's trying to change the subject off of him. And so as we consider what Peter asked here and how Jesus responds, let's think about three lessons for us in this short passage. The first is to stay focused. To stay focused. Peter's walking on the beach with Jesus. He turns, he spies John trailing a little behind. Now, John himself is writing this account, as we know, and he refers to himself frequently in the third person. I take that to be a mark of his humility. The story's not about him. In this instance, he refers to himself as the one to whom Jesus gave the information as he was sitting there at the table at the Last Supper. About who would betray him. That would be Lazarus. Judas. So John is the one that Jesus gave that information to. That's how he refers himself at this point. That's found in John 13. We covered that quite some time ago. Anyway, Peter is here, and in his possible desire to change the subject away from himself, he asks Jesus, "What's to become of John in the future? You've told me what to do. What about him?" Now, I appreciate when others are concerned about me, as you are, I'm sure. And I have no reason to doubt that Peter was actually concerned about his friend John, his dear friend John. But again, it's as if Peter's trying to change the subject with Jesus, trying to get the attention, the spotlight off of himself and onto someone else. And besides that, who put Peter in charge? Whoever put Peter in charge? Why does he need to know what Jesus has in mind for John? So how does Jesus reply to his question, his intrusive question, I would say, in verse 22? If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. So in other words, it's something like this. If I choose to let John live until I come again, that's my prerogative, Peter. It's none of your business. Do what I've told you and follow me. I mean, that is the gist of what Jesus is saying here. It's none of your business, Peter. He can stay here for the next 5,000 years as far as it concerns you. You follow me, sir. Peter just gets into one mess after another, doesn't he? I mean, it's Peter. If there's a fire, Peter started it. He's in one fix after another. He is so faithful, but he is so flawed, just like us. And lo and behold, someone takes this statement that Jesus makes, and they turn it so that it becomes this wild tale, this urban legend, if you will, about John for a while, that he's going to live indefinitely until Jesus comes back, and only then will he be gone. It's an urban legend. In verse 23, so the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Among the brothers, among the apostles and among the other believers. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Jesus didn't say that. Any guesses who might have misconstrued Jesus' statement and turned it and made it a rumor, an urban legend? I bet Peter had something to do with that too. Our sin nature causes us to do a lot of things. A lot of things. And one of those is that we're easily distracted. We're easily pulled away from important things that we should be giving attention to. Here's an example. Here's an example of Peter veering off the clear course that Jesus has given him by being overly inquisitive of Jesus' plans for John. I would submit that it's often the case for us that very little good comes from all this extra information that we seek to find out about other people, that we practice our investigative skills on. It often leads, of course, to gossip, and that's secondhand info that's passed around generally with the product of hurting other people. It's not, very rarely is gossip beneficial. It's usually harmful to other people. Or in this case, it starts some wild and crazy rumor about John. In Peter's case, he has been given what he needs to know. He's been given his instructions. Follow me. And that's what Peter needed to know. He needed his business, not John's business. What if John's plans were more appealing than his own upon first glance? What if John's job that Jesus gave him looked more glamorous or attractive or rewarding or fulfilling? Perhaps Peter would have been jealous, right? Or would have questioned Jesus' instruction to him. Perhaps Peter would have not done well with that information at all. Theologian George Hutchinson warns Christians not to compare the Lord's dealing with themselves and others so as to be thereby withdrawn from or discouraged in their own duty and lot. Why me and not him? Why me and not him? Why, Lord, haven't you given me a wife when my brother, who can barely tie his own shoes, has a great one? Why do I live on the edge of poverty, though I pray and work hard and I'm honest, while my neighbor has so much, and yet he's a sneaky, unscrupulous fellow. Why, Lord? Why do you allow this seeming imbalance? Why me and not him? Jesus has his reasons, doesn't he? And Jesus wanted Peter to stay focused on his task, on his life. And I dare say that Jesus wants the same in general for each believer, each Christian. Though some of the details of following Jesus will vary person to person. He wants each of us to stay focused on him and the things that he calls us to in life. Don't be easily distracted or derailed by what others may or may not be doing, or by even external events or tragedy in life. Don't be easily distracted away from Jesus. That is what we just sang about. Our great enemy loves to distract Christians from their task of following Jesus and proclaiming him to the world. Don't be easily distracted. Let nothing sway you from your course. Stay focused. What about John, though? We ask that. What about John? We want to know. And of course, we have history on our side. Peter didn't. What did happen with his life? Was that legend true? That's funny if you think about it. If you ever saw Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade years and years ago, you can remember that old codger living in that cave guarding the Holy Grail for like 1,200 years. Is John in a cave somewhere waiting for Jesus to come again before he can die? Of course not. It's ridiculous even to think about it. And if that had happened, if that were the case, wouldn't that have put a tremendous amount of scrutiny on John instead of Jesus? Wouldn't it have sidetracked so many people to look at John instead of the Savior of the world? He would have been surrounded by people watching him for signs of illness or signs that he might leave and depart so that they would know when the last day was. He would have been the most scrutinized person in the whole world, including the U.S. president. He would have been the man. All that attention might have been nice for an individual, but it would have been false. So John dispels this myth. He dispels it in writing, and I'm sure he had 1,000 conversations in his lifetime about it. No, sir, that's not what Jesus meant at all. No, that's a misunderstanding. I bet he did that 1,000 times if he did it once. John stayed true to Jesus. And that's the next point. Stay true to Jesus. I've mentioned some details as we know them about John over the last 2 years of this study, but John quite probably was the only apostle that made it out of middle age. The rest, including his brother James, were either validated by Scripture or by church history to have been martyred for their faith, killed for their faith in Jesus, but not John, as far as we know. And if you're older, if you're here today and you're above a certain age, and I won't define what that age is, but if you're an older person and you consider this scenario through the eyes of aging, you may realize that perhaps John had a rougher go of it because of his longevity. After all, when we imagine giving ourselves wholeheartedly for our faith in Jesus or for other causes or purposes, say, for instance, for our country or our family, big purposes I'm talking here, we often dramatize that, I think, by considering that if we need to, we'll go out in a blaze of glory. We'll give it all. We'll lay down our lives. In other words, dying for what we believe in. And the same, of course, and more so holds true for faithfulness to Jesus. And sometimes, like with the other apostles, that is the cost. The cost of following faithfully was a violent death, and it continues to be in many parts of the world. I cannot forget the images that we saw a number of years ago of those 21 orange-clad prisoners on the beach in Libya that were forced to kneel and were executed there on the beach because they were Christians. You might remember that as well. And yet, who's to say, and I'm not trying to be callous or unfeeling here, but who's to say that a few hours or days or months of persecution and torture followed by a violent death is worse than years or even decades of deteriorating health, of losing most of your friends and family along the way? I do not want to live to be 100. I do not want to live to be 100. If you live to be 100, you have lost virtually everyone that you have loved for most of your life. Increasing impairment, and in John's case, isolation, because he was imprisoned by the Romans on the island of Patmos, a desert prison island. Which one's worse? Which one's harder? One could make the argument that it is in fact easier to be true to Christ, to be faithful to Him through active, intense witnessing and working for Him followed by persecution and death, than through the slow drag of many, many years in what we would consider the normal life. One could say that it might be much easier to go out in that blaze of glory in a short time than to go through the decades of normal life. And I'm sure John had his rough days. I'm sure he did. But here he is. He's writing this. This is the last gospel written. By this point, he is an elderly man. And he's still faithful to Jesus. He's still moving right along in truth. He's still giving testimony to the truth of the gospel. This long, slow slide of life, and he did have difficult times, to be sure. It has not changed his view. Time hasn't changed his view. Peer pressure hasn't changed his view. Think about the pressure they endured. All he would have to do was denounce his faith in Jesus, and he could live in relative peace and comfort. He wouldn't be exiled on a dusty island by himself. He would get to live the normal life. All he had to do was say, "No, I don't believe in Jesus." Or even, "I can worship the emperor too. I can worship Jesus and the emperor. I can do both." He could just blend in. He could have done that. Yet here's what John writes in verse 24. "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." We know it's true. There were others still around who had either seen Jesus themselves or knew people who had. There were lots of other witnesses who could refute what John was writing. It was true what he was writing. There was no one refuting these words. John continues to faithfully do what the Lord told him to do through the Holy Spirit, and that is record this word. So should we. So should we do what we have been told to do, no matter the pressure, no matter the intense pressure to change, to bend, to take the easy path away from the truth. And it is, the pressure is hard, especially on our young people, to move away from Jesus, to move away from the truth. It is, after all, the truth that ultimately sets us free. And guess who wrote that? John, chapter 8, verse 32. So all that to say is that John, and indeed even Peter, even headstrong, impetuous Peter, stayed with Jesus throughout their lives. And that's the third point, staying with Jesus. As the saying goes, they hitched their wagons to Jesus. And their lives and their ministry reflected that to the very end. They were faithful. Not perfect. No one ever is, but faithful to the end. Notice the last verse of this gospel. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This tells us that John could have written much more about Jesus. He could have spent the rest of his life recording the miracles that Jesus did. But Holy Spirit prompted him only to write this and the epistles and Revelation. Why didn't he write more and more and more of these amazing miracles? I would love to read about them. I would. The answer is because what he has given is more than sufficient. It is more than sufficient. It is more than sufficient to save us. It is more than sufficient to offer us grace and forgiveness over and over. It is more than sufficient to be our guide for life. It is more than sufficient to be our strength in the face of adversity. It is more than sufficient to comfort us in sorrow. It is more than sufficient for all things, what we have been given here in God's Word. Jesus is revealed in plenty of glory for us. We don't need to know every single thing that He did. So stay with Him. Stay with Him. Stay with Him through success and through failure, through your youth and through your long years, through peace and through war if it comes, through prosperity and through poverty, through thick and through thin. Stay with Jesus. Stay faithful to Him. He will not disappoint. Your reward will only grow greater with time. John's friend Paul assures us of Jesus' faithfulness to us, Jesus staying with us. He says in his letter to the Romans 8, 28 and 29, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus stays with us. Nothing can separate Him from us. So let us stay with Him. So let us stay with Him. In our minds, in our hearts, in our obedience to Him. Hold Him close. Do not veer to the left or to the right. Do not give up or give in. Stay with Jesus. There's a Latin phrase that Gordon Ketty uses, and it translates like this. I don't know Latin. I won't pretend to, but it translates like this. If you know Christ, it is enough, even if you are ignorant of all other things. If you are unacquainted with Christ, it is nothing, even if you know everything else. If you know Christ, it is enough. Stay with Him. Amen.